Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, 7 o'clock hour. Jay Binkley, Chris Sunocero. Royals sweep the White Sox today. Keep the miserable White Sox down. They're a horrible team. 56 games under 500, but you keep a bad team down. Royals 12-1 this year against the White Sox, and they're done playing them for the rest of the year. But the Royals off to Detroit. Hopefully good things happen to the Royals in Detroit. They're currently in the wild card position right now, in third wild card. So 100%, we'll talk about the Royals coming up in a little bit. But Kingsley versus Wanya Morris at the left tackle position. Wanya Morris kind of got the nod early on before they put the pads on. They were rotating. Kind of what we thought. It'd be a rotation between the two to find out what you got. But yet they still haven't picked up the phone for Donovan Smith. They still haven't picked up the phone for David Bakhtiari. And you get this far training camp and you're not busting off those phone calls, means you're pretty happy with what you got at this point. Doesn't mean it won't happen, but I've always felt that they, deep down, they kind of wanted Kingsley to win the job. And I still believe they're giving him every opportunity to do it. Obviously, Wanya, with that experience, he's got the ring with the Chiefs last year. He has four starts under his belt. But Kingsley's a guy, listen, a lot of times in the one-on-ones, Mike Dannon and company making these guys look silly. You know, they're proven edge rushers in the National Football League. They're going to. But again, it's like Xavier Worthy. You can get knocked down, but what are you going to do the next time? Are you going to come back the next time as well? But Kingsley's turned a lot of heads so far in training camp as Mahomes' blindside protector. I feel it will be him starting day one.
That's what it seems like. Every padded practice they've had thus far, he's been the top left tackle. So, yeah, it makes sense to infer that, yeah, he's going to be that guy there. I think we've both understood that, yeah, they were going to give Wanya every opportunity to keep that role, but I very much think that and we talked about this on the Character Concerns podcast a couple months ago. It's like, okay, yeah, Wanya is going to be the leader in the clubhouse, but they're going to give Kingsley every opportunity to go out there and win it. And if Wanya wants to keep that job, he's going to have to be much better than Kingsley, because if it's about equal, then I think they're going to give the nod to Kingsley and just let him learn, because he's an incredible athlete. And Wanya is a guy that's versatile enough to play a lot of different positions. He's a guy that could slide into guard if they absolutely needed him to. He could play the right tackle behind Juwan Taylor if they needed him to.
They both played that position before, right? But I don't expect Kingsley to be over there.
So, like, it's not a position where, like, they need to – like, if the Chiefs were not confident in what they had at left tackle – They probably would have brought back Donovan Smith, but there's also a chance they would have brought in David Bakhtiari, because Bakhtiari is I think he might have a little bit more in the tank than Donovan does, but they were pretty comfortable with what they had, and you know, we said, like, hey, if by the time they do mandatory minicamp they haven't gotten a veteran left tackle, that's a wrap on them getting a veteran left tackle. If you're worried about the left tackle position, fine, be worried. But, like, at the end of the day, this is a situation where I think you give the Chiefs the benefit of the doubt, because they've done a very good job of shoring up their issues. And if they think that one of these two guys is the answer for their left tackle problem, then I'm going to trust them on it until those guys prove that they're not.
And I don't feel like they'll make a move at tackle unless there's an injury.
It would have to be a disaster. Something would have to happen injury-wise, or just they're terrible in the game in order for them to go and try to make a supplemental signing.
It would be Kingsley or Wanya, but again, I don't think you're trusting anybody else to play the left side to protect the backside of Patrick Mahomes, unless it's Donovan Smith, you know, to keep you through until somebody's back from injury,
right,
or David Bakhtiari, somebody like that. They go, but they've been moving guards around. It's good having Tooney back. You know, Tooney next to Kingsley there can help him out quite a bit. Of course, Creed Humphrey there in the middle as well. And Hunter Norzad, they're moving this guy all around. This guy played everywhere at Holy Cross, and he did it at Penn State when he went to center, but he's played right tackle. He's played the guard position. Andy Reid's had him at left guard. He's been the backup center for the Chiefs as well, very Nick Allegretti-like. Matter of fact, Brett Veach compared him kind of Nick Allegretti in his post-draft press conference. But offensive line, you can understand the direction they did this year in the draft. And 2 years ago, I felt like it was a draft for necessity, which a lot of the rookies ended up playing in that year. They won the Super Bowl against the Eagles. Last year was more of a different kind of year for the Chiefs in the draft.
It was more you were drafted for value.
It was for value going forward. But this year, I definitely think there's some value, but I think they definitely addressed their needs in what this team needed going forward.
Yeah, and I think early on, yeah, first two rounds you went need, and I think after that you went and found good value. And especially that fourth round, I think Jared Wiley has been, I think, a lot more impressive than people thought he would be at this point in his career. Jaden Hicks surely has looked good, and while this year it might be a little bit tough for him to get playing time just because of the depth that they have in their secondary, he's a guy that going forward over the long term could eventually be their starting strong safety. So I think looking at the level that the Chiefs have drafted at, where nobody has drafted as good as they have during this stretch, it's pretty amazing that they've been able to like completely retool this team and build it up from scratch from what it was during that initial period where they did make those back-to-back Super Bowls and almost made it three Super Bowls in a row, but then you lose at Arrowhead to the Bengals. I mean, that was a very impressive run, but then for you to then completely retool and keep winning on top of it and winning championships, like, that's really impressive. So
in the interior part of this line, listen, Trey Smith, and we've seen guards are getting paid a crazy amount of money.
Yeah, they're getting upwards of $20 million a year.
And keep in mind, they pay Tooney a lot of money. He had that $80 million guaranteed contract when he came here. He's still under contract through this year and next year as well, but he has a massive cap hit of $27 million. So would they like to move on from that? Probably. Eventually they would. Hunter Norzad, definitely a guy that could step in and be that guy. Heard the rumors of Creed Humphrey. They're working on that deal. And Nick Bolton, possibly, even though Nick Bolton's not going to do any kind of contract stuff until after the season's done. But I think offensive line will continue to be something the Chiefs are looking for. I think wide receiver something they'll be hitting in the draft as well. And defensive line, because this year they brought the whole defensive line back because Neil Farrell was the only guy signed. They bring everybody back. Could be a little bit different next year. And a defensive line, I think, will be one of their top needs.
I think defensive tackles right now would be penciled in as my number one need. I still would like next year for them to go get another receiver just for depth purposes. I think the Chiefs have learned their lesson about, hey, we just have one good wide receiver and that's it. Like, I think they learned their lesson at this point, and you want to keep the cupboard stock full of talent. And I think for the offensive line, it's the same deal. Like, the Chiefs, I don't think they're going to make the same mistake they made in 19 and 20, where you basically had a patchwork offensive line. You had a bunch of guys who were like practice squad guys on other team, like Austin Ryder and Andrew Wiley and Mike Rimmers and guys like that who were just like piecemeal players.
Mahomes,
yeah, exactly. You just had a bunch of piecemeal players from other teams, practice squads, and it ended up working. You won a Super Bowl, you went to another one, but you melted down in that second one because your offensive line could not stop the pass rush. So I think that will remain a priority even as they start to get to a point where they might be transitioning their offensive line into a completely different unit, at least, 40% of it. I do think that, with that news coming out about Creed possibly getting an extension, that, yeah, I mean, you start looking at both guard positions. I think Tooney, last year of his deal, really big cap hit. And guard is a position that the Chiefs have been able to find value at for years. Larry the Canadian Doctor was a sixth-round pick. Trey Smith was a sixth-round pick. I'm not really concerned about them drafting at the guard position.
There's no first-round picks on the offensive line starting anywhere.
Right, yeah. And, it's like the offensive line is one of those positions where you can find good value. Like, maybe at your tackle position, you might be a little bit more antsy to go out there and get those premier athletes in the first round just because there's not a whole lot of guys who are athletic enough to play that position at the NFL level. But like on the interior, I'm not drafting any interior guy early in the draft, like maybe a second round guy. Like the Chiefs love taking second round centers. You obviously saw that with Creed and with Mitch Morse. And even before Andy Reid got here with Rodney Hudson, he was a former second round
pick. They take guys out of the first round that would be first rounders for your draft.
Yeah. So like the Chiefs do know how to find, you know, they do prioritize like center, but like guard, they can find a lot of value in that. And they've had some piecemeal guys play guard and play it well. So I'm not too concerned about that. But, yeah, I think this coming season, you're going to have some needs you got to address. But I wouldn't be shocked if, like, next year they got a little sexy in the draft and get some of those guys. Like, take some more swings at guys like we've seen with, like, a Mike Dana or, you know, guys like that who are, like, really good athletes but maybe normally wouldn't be picked.
People looked at the size. Mike Dana didn't go to the combine. Was a fifth-round pick. Just another one of those.
Way undersized for an edge rusher.
One of those steals.
6'1", 250, didn't like 31-inch arms. Like he doesn't fit what the Chiefs want, and yet he still found a way to make the team and stay on the team. And you know now he got a decent little extension, and he's a good rotational guy.
And as far as the other rookies are concerned, Kamal Haddon, it's going to take a little while for him. And the guy led the Tennessee in picks the last 2 years, but the fourth round is interesting because that was Jaden Hicks and that was Jared Wiley. And I love the fourth round selections by the Chiefs. I do think you'll see Jaden Hicks in rotation. This is a safety of the future. He loves to hit people, likes to get up towards the line. He could do it. You know, it's Shamari Connor type guy. Different in the fact that he's not going to play nickel like Shamari Connor is going to swing in that nickel and be the strong safety in other different looks for this team. But a guy that can get to the quarterback. But Jared Wiley and if their tight end room is full, will Andy Reid keep four tight ends? It's not out of the realm of possibility, Duke. Because Irv Smith that comes over here, the former first-round pick, has had a very nice camp, to be honest with you. We looked upon this deal as, okay, it's going to be Kelce, obviously, then Noah Gray, then Jared Wiley. And you see the tight end two and tight end three in a lot of different sets. Chiefs do. It's one reason that Kelce was mad at Andy Reid during the Super Bowl because he gets pulled off the field and they put the other guys in. And last year it was Blake Bell and Noah Gray that would go in. But Jared Wiley's getting plenty of attention from Mahomes as well. He's really showing why he led the nation in red zone scores.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories and lots of laughs.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's last year. Like, he's showing all that with the Chiefs. Not going to go crazy and call him Travis Kelce because there's not another Travis Kelce. There's just not. But is it the guy that you can count on to catch the football, block, and make explosive plays if you need be? Yes, I think Jared Wiley can be that guy.
Yeah, I like I said, I think he kind of takes that Jody Fortson role from 22, being that red zone guy, being the more athletic tight end that they can run deeper routes with and he can get open and use his athleticism out there in open space. I don't want to say Travis Kelce. I even though he plays like Kelce, I don't want to say that because that's not fair to him. This is a kid that like he hasn't played tight end for super long. He's a former quarterback, much like Kelce was. And, you know, it's a position with a lot of nuances in Andy's offense. But I'll say this, you know, having Noah Gray, having Jared Wiley, having Irv Smith gives the Chiefs a lot more options to run 12, 13 personnel.
Deeper tight end room than we've seen
in
a while.
And that gives them a lot of advantages. It's the reason why their offense was so good in 22, even though they didn't have Tyreek Hill, because they could run bigger sets, run 13 personnel, have the defense bought in on they're going to run the football, and the next thing you know, they run an out route with their tight end. He gets 15 yards because he's got a mismatch in pass coverage.
Like, and all of a sudden, you're going to double Travis Kelce, and all of a sudden, right. Okay, on the outside, Hollywood Brown's there,
exactly.
Xavier Worthy, and then your backup tight end, Noah Gray, showed that his hands are pretty damn good last year.
Right, so I think there's that gives them some advantage. Having Wiley out there and him being a reliable option as a second or third tight end gives them the kind of dynamic they had 2 years ago. And it also helps them out if there is any issues with the receiving core, because you don't, like, if you're running 13 personnel, you only got two receivers on. Actually, you got one receiver on the field. So that limits your issues if, let's say, you have an injury problem with Hollywood Brown. Or if, say, you've got a suspension for Rashi Rice, now you can kind of, you know, limit things because now Hollywood would be the only receiver on the field, or maybe it's Xavier Worthy in the situation.
And you feel good with 12 and 13 personnel.
Right, yeah. I think you feel a lot better this year. Like, I said it all last year. I was like, I don't want Blake Bell catching passes because he's not reliable at doing that. But if you got a guy like Irv Smith, you got a guy like Jared Wiley out there as a third tight end, I'm feeling a lot better about those 13 personnel, and I'm feeling a lot better about those guys catching passes than Blake Bell.
Text line asking us about Blake Bell. Blake Bell is not here anymore. He's currently a free agent in the National Football League.
I mean, he was cool. He was a good blocker. He helped them win a championship, but man, Blake Bell was not a guy I wanted catching passes.
Oh, Irv Smith is a second round pick, not a first round. He's pick 50. So yeah. He's a little bit off on that, but he's not here. But coming up next, NFL Network made their way to camp, not today, but the last practice the Chiefs had. And Creed Humphrey spoke a lot about the culture and the winning and the expectations for the Chiefs. I absolutely loved what he had to say. Play that next.
You're listening to After Hours with Dusty Likens on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Twin Peaks Eats, Drinks, Scenic Views.
Bobby Witt Jr. hitting 489 in the month of July. I mean, you got to go back to Lou Gehrig for the company that Bobby Witt Jr. is keeping. Unbelievable for him. But the NFL Network was at... Do you think it's kind of weird, the NFL Network, they just finally started Good Morning Football again, Chris? I'm kind of glad they did. I don't know why they broke away from it. I know they went from New York out to L.A. or whatever, but it didn't make sense to me because the NFL prints money. You know what I'm saying? I know
they're
looking for a partnership with the ESPN or whatever.
I think their main thing is they're trying to save money. They're just trying to – because they've made a lot of cuts in their NFL, as far as like NFL media goes. I don't know why because, you just said they print money.
They do. I mean – having a game in Brazil to start off Friday night. Well, the Chiefs will start Thursday night.
Yeah, they're cashing in. Their next TV deals are going to be massive. Yeah. Like, I'll be honest. I think it's stupid. Like, it made no sense why they would... Because, like...
The old ESPN partnership was coming in.
Because, what was it? What was it, March or whatever, when they stopped the show?
Yeah, it was a great show.
And then they came back for a little bit during the draft, and then they stopped again. And... you know, they just started it back up here recently. It's just like, you know, like what? They had nothing on in place of it. It's like, what are we doing?
And James Palmer gone, you know? It's the guy that...
Yeah, you got rid of James Palmer. You got rid of Andrew Siciliano. And it's just like, I don't get why you would do that. The NFL Network is one of the better sports networks out there.
It's 100%. It's much watched TV. I love watch every night.
It is great. I don't do it every night, but it's great television. There's a lot of great documentaries they run all the time. They're kind of in their thing where they're running too many reruns of Hard Knocks, especially the Jets one from last year. But yeah, they still have a lot of great content, a lot of interesting stuff. There's nothing on the weekend. I'll turn it on and they'll have like an old game from the 90s on, and that's cool. I'll watch it. But like, yeah, I don't understand why they messed around with what was best sports morning, probably the best morning show in all of professional sport and all the sports in period. It just didn't make any sense why they would do that.
Yeah, without question. But Stacey Dales does still work for NFL Network. Tom Pelissero works for NFL Network. They were talking to Creed Humphrey up in St. Joe.
He's one of the very best in the NFL, center Creed Humphrey with these Chiefs. We were told to get some O-line jokes to start the interview with you.
I can't think of any off the top of my head right now. Yeah, I'm not going to be able to get any out right now. So
let's start with how fast this offense feels, because the speed looks apparent to Tom and I just here watching practice today.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a lot of fun. You know, we got a ton of, you know, guys that we've added a ton of speed to this team. So, you know, obviously I played with Hollywood in college. I know how fast he is. Seeing Xavier in the Big 12 just going against OU through the years, you know, I've seen him too. So, you know, we've added a ton of speed, and it's going to be exciting.
Without giving away schematics, obviously you got all these fast dudes, and there's stuff being run out here that I've never seen in my life. Do you ever get brought an idea by Andy or Matt Nagy, and you guys are like, we're not really going to try this, are we?
We're ready to try anything. You know, at this point, we've seen so many plays and so many different creative things that we're not going to be surprised anymore by what they asked us to do. We're just going to do it. So.
Patrick Mahomes it feels, Creed, like he just gets better and better every single year. What's his getting better part now?
Yeah, you know, I think it's for him, you know, obviously right now he's, you know, growing relationships with the new guys, figuring that out. And every day you see those relationships get closer, and you know, he's such a great teammate and such a great leader that those relationships are going to form fast. And it's been impressive to see. And, you know, just him building those relationships with the new guys, getting them on the same page and stuff, it's been awesome to see. And, you know, it's getting better and better each day, so we're excited.
You're obviously a phenomenal player. You're one of the best at your position, so I mean this respectfully. It's hard for centers to get attention. In other words, you could be a really good center on a bad team. People aren't going to be talking about Creed Humphrey. Do you ever take a moment to think how blessed you are that you got that guy's hands between your cheeks every day?
Yeah, incredibly blessed. No, I mean, it's getting to play with a guy like Pat is, it's awesome. It's a blessing, you know. Not everybody gets to do that. Obviously, he's one of the best to ever play the game, and he's still young in his career. So it's been a blessing to be able to play with him and continue and just grown our relationship over the past 3 years, going on 4 years. It's been really cool, and you know, there's not many guys in this world like Pat. I'll tell you that, you know, just from obviously as an athlete, but you know, as a friend, as a teammate, you know, all those things off the field. He's really just kind of one of a kind. It's impressive to see. So it's been awesome to get to be with him.
Creed, I said this to Isaiah. You're back-to-back Super Bowl champs. You're going for history, but it just doesn't feel like there's any level of satisfaction. When I watch Travis Kelce running routes the way he's doing right now, it's impressive. Like, how does a guy like that and really this nucleus set the standard?
Yeah, well, we know it's a new year and it's a new team. You know, we lose players every year after the season. We gain new players. So it's about, you know, creating that culture right now. You know, in the summer when it's hot, you know, sometimes you don't want to be out here, but you're going to push through it. You're going to get better that day. It's just one of those things that, you know, you have to continue to keep the culture that we've had over the past few years that have, you know, gotten us where we are, and just continue to build on that. And it's been great so far. You know, everybody's buying in, and it's been really fun.
It didn't take long after the Super Bowl win in Vegas for people to start talking about a three-peat. It literally was being talked about on the podium. Now that you're in this setting, how much of it, if any, talk is there about trying to do something that's never been done in NFL history?
Yeah, you know, our focus right now is just taking it day by day. You know we have a lot to improve on to get to where we want to be. So obviously the goal is to get another Super Bowl. So that's kind of our focus point, is just, you know, getting to the Super Bowl this year. It's not really, we're not thinking, oh, three-peat or anything like that. It's, you know, this year we're going to make the Super Bowl. So right now it's just taking it day by day and, you know, getting better every day, because we know we have a lot to improve on to get to where we want to be.
I'm also really impressed by the fact that I'm currently sweating. Like, I'm absolutely soaking wet. You as a big man right now, totally dry. There must be a conditioning aspect. All right, the arms, but the face looks good. You're not absolutely drenched. There's a lot that goes into that.
Yeah, I don't sweat too bad as a big guy, thankfully. So I've gotten lucky, but yeah.
I just want to just quickly get a thought on your defense. When you watch opposite you in the trenches, a guy like Chris Jones, a spectacular player, how do they make you better on the daily?
Yeah, you know, getting to go against a guy like Chris, you know, just anybody across the D-line, George as well. Felix is, you know, playing really well right now too. Just, you know, the whole defensive front's playing really well right now, playing really fast and physical. So it's great for us, you know, and especially a guy like Chris. You know, a lot of guys don't have that opportunity to go get somebody that good during training camp. So for us, I feel like it gets us really ready for the season to, you know, expect anything. So it's been awesome to go against Chris. You know, there's a ton of battles every day, and it's been great.
Have you seen Chris in the training room, or is he milking it knowing it's 97 out here and he wants the day off?
I don't know. Yeah, I'm sure he wants to be out here. I can't answer that, but I'm sure he wants to be out here with us.
Well, we can't wait till the start of the season. Football's back. Creed Humphrey, thanks for stopping and joining us in this heat.
For sure.
Appreciate you, bud.
Thank y'all. Yeah, thanks for coming.
So much about that I like, the fact that the humbleness of the Chiefs. You wouldn't think by watching them or hearing about them that they've won back-to-back Super Bowls. There's no, you know, patting themselves on the back. They won another one. And all that starts with Mahomes, the fact that they're not satisfied. They could have crumbled last year after losing to the Raiders on Christmas Day. That was a terrible game. I mean, it was bad. They could have gone two different ways. And they played the Bengals next week without Joe Burrow. They did get the win, which I think was important, but they could have gone two different directions, and they didn't do it. And they're not shying away from talking about the three-peat. You know, they mentioned it before. Creed didn't want to talk about it there, but it has been all business with this team. The culture of this team is right where they want it, because they still have a ton of fun. They still have a ton of fun what they do, but they know when to put the fun away. And I think it kind of started a little bit where you really notice it in that snow game against Denver a couple years ago. Remember making the snow angels and everything, then boom, you turn that stuff off when it's game time.
Yeah, I like how Creed kind of quantified, like talked about that mindset, because I think a lot of us as fans and media think about that like put everything in context, you know. Oh, they're going for their third straight championship. And I like the fact that the Chiefs very much have that year over year mentality. They're not walking around like they're the champs. they're walking around like, okay, we're one of the prohibitive favorites for this coming Super Bowl, but we got work to put in to get there.
And they know they can do it. I think that's the biggest
but
thing.
I think that's a good mindset to have where you don't anoint yourself as we're champions. They're like, okay, we're challengers for the next championship. And I like that. Like, to me, that mindset is what you have to have in order to be a championship caliber team year over year, because a lot of people in this sport, and it kind of sucks, but in football, because of the randomness of it, if you get one Super Bowl, there's a lot of people who are happy with it. I mean, Tyreek Hill was happy with one Super Bowl and then getting paid by a different team. He was perfectly cool.
So were the Bucks. So were the Rams.
You know, a lot. And that's not, I can't necessarily say that about them, just because, like, sometimes there's roster attrition that happens that results in you not winning another championship. We obviously saw the very next year after the Rams won the Super Bowl, you had Matt Stafford get injured for most of the year. So I don't know if that was a situation where it was mindset versus, like, hey, you won your championship, but you're not really that kind of team full of that roster to win it year over year. But the Chiefs do have the roster where they can do that, but they also have the mindset to where it's like, okay, we're not thinking about those two championships we just won. We were thinking about three-peat at the parade. We were thinking about three-peat when we were celebrating with everybody. But now that we've gotten into the offseason and we've gone through OTAs and mandatory, and now we're in the middle of training camp, we're not thinking about that anymore, because that doesn't matter. Now we're thinking about trying to capture another Super Bowl. And at this point now, they're looking at themselves like they're 0-0, and it's a fresh slate. So I like that mindset that they have, and I think that that could help them go and do something that no team has ever done in NFL history.
Because they've been there and they've done that. Again, the expectations, like what the Steelers had and the Patriots had, I'd say, you come in here and you play. We're going to need you to play. And they made no bones about it. You know, with Mahomes talking about Xavier Worthy, you know, in the press conference during OTAs, like, we're going to throw a lot at him. We're going to throw a lot at him. We have different expectations. You know, you're the first-round pick. You know, and that's what they're doing with this team. Oh, by the way, one guy we forgot when we did a wide receiver countdown. I don't know why we didn't mention Mecole Hardman, but add him as a...
Oh, he'll be on the team.
He's on the team, so
he's going to be on the
another
team.
Guy. So you think about just two spots and some battle for those spots.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Mecole was going to be on the team. Like,
he'll be there.
He's not going to have like a major prominent role, but I do like him as the gadget guy in the
Walks
offense.
So Walker, Worthy, Rice, Hollywood Brown, Mecole Hardman. I think Tony's a lock at this point.
I think so, too.
And then it's going to be a battle of Sky Moore even staying on the team.
Yeah.
And then you got Justin Ross, Nico Remigio.
Yeah. And those, they got options there.
Montrell Washington.
If I were betting, I would say out of those guys, I would probably go Justin Ross. But, you know, maybe Remigio impresses them enough to stay on the team. Or maybe Sky does. I'm not
betting on Sky. Because the
returnability. For who?
Nico,
yeah. I was about to say, I was like, for Sky, they avoided him returning last year.
But they didn't trust him when it got to the postseason, though.
Yeah, because they had to. But
he was dropping in the regular season.
Last year they were like, okay, yeah, stay back, Sky. But, yeah, I mean, I think you got a really good competition at the back end there to make the roster. I think Justin Ross, maybe this year he could be a good red zone option for them. You know, there's a good third down option. I don't know, like, There's a lot of different things you can do. They have a lot of guys with potential. It's just a matter of those guys like really kind of panning out. And this is the reason why I think the Chiefs should be looking at wide receiver every year. You know, find a guy in the draft or, you know, a UDFA that you like, that you can bring in and maybe take advantage of his athletic prowess. And, you know, maybe he takes to the system and he produces. But I think the Chiefs have learned their lesson about not keeping the cupboard full of talent in that receiving core. And I think the Chiefs are going to be dedicated to trying to make sure they don't take quite as many risks as they did 2 years ago.
Come up next, though, give you an update on MVS. How's he doing in Buffalo? That good or that bad? Plus an update on Legarius Sneed as well. Former Chiefs, talking those next.
You're listening to After Hours with Dusty Likens on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.
And welcome back, Jay Binkley, Chris Sinocero. I know it's July and it gets hotter than hell, but today was hotter than hell. Would you take 20 degrees or this?
This.
Really?
Any day of the week, yeah.
Oh, not me.
I hate the cold. Like, I'm all about the heat.
Well, 20 doesn't seem cold when it's like...
20 is very cold when it's like this. What are you talking about?
That's
12 degrees below freezing. What the hell are you talking about?
It's still shorts for me, man.
Well, yeah, because you...
A nice 32-degree day, let's do it.
Yeah, no, I'm taking the heat any day of the week.
All right, this or 32?
Yes, I'll take this, yes.
This or 40?
I'll take this.
Wow.
I'll take this over anything above... Anything below 60, I'll take this.
Really?
Yes.
Even the 50s?
Yes.
Huh.
Oh, yeah. No, 50s is cold.
It's unbearable,
I'll take
man.
This. I'll take this.
It just takes your breath away when you walk outside.
It doesn't take my breath away. I'm cool. I'm chilling out there. Yeah, I like the heat. I don't like the cold.
Well, you came in with the sweatshirt, didn't you?
No, I did not.
Oh, I thought you did.
No, I did not. I did not come in here in a sweatshirt, no.
Yeah, man, I just think it's sweat rag time, man. It goes everywhere with you, with me. That's what I mean.
Yeah, no, I'll take this all the time. I ain't got no problem with the heat. It's when we start getting cold. Yeah, no,
No, I mean, the Miami Dolphins game, now that was cold. At 31-degree minus
wind chill. The 32 degrees you were talking about just a minute ago is cold, too.
You know, the Chiefs in December, either at home or in cold weather cities each and every game that stretch from December on.
Well, yeah.
It's going to be colder for the Chiefs.
Well, yeah, like most of the teams are cold weather teams anyway.
That's right.
So, yeah.
Well, except for, you know, the Dolphins. It clearly
yeah,
the
there's not that many teams like the Dolphins out there.
Remember, they came here without their sleeves on and stuff, thinking they'd be tough or whatever.
I mean, I get it. I mean, it's like you remember that Christmas Eve game in 22 when the Seahawks came to Arrowhead and they thought they was going to go out there and be tough playing in the cold weather and they got bullied. Yeah, no, it's... And here's the thing: is like Seattle's a cold weather city too. It's just like it's different. It's different. Like there's a toughness that comes with playing great defense, and the Chiefs have had it the last couple of years.
I'd take the cold over the heat any day. But what do you think about L'Jarius Sneed? I brought it up to you earlier. Like, did you hear the latest on Sneed and how he's doing? Because there's a reason. Listen, he's a great player. I mean, he did a great job for the Chiefs last year. There's no question about it. He's been better than a fourth-round pick. He's been one of the best corners in the NFL. I mean, he bullied number one receivers last year. It was great. But the thing was, is are you really going to pony up for somebody that you're worried about his knee? He didn't go to any practice last year with the Chiefs in training camp. They babied him sometimes through the year, which usually he became one of the only guys I've ever seen not to practice Friday and still play, right, under Andy Reid. But Arrowhead Haddock, I just noticed they had something that said, L'Jarius Sneed still plagued by knee issues early in Titans training camp. And then I was like, okay. And they see what's going on. And read the Tennessean, Nashville, where they cover him. And, you know, talking about, you know, he's been out there talking, but not exactly going out there and playing as much with the Tennessee Titans. But, hey, you knew what you were getting. And remember, it took a while before they officially announced it. I mean, the trade was made, but it took him a while because he had to pass his physical. Like, there's a reason why, as much as we like L'Jarius Sneed, why it was kind of buyer beware. And for a team that sees him every day and the training staff, you just got to understand where you're at and what you're doing. Sneed says he feels fine, by the way, from the Tennessean. He's managing the knee injury that kept him off the practice field most of the last season with the Chiefs, including the majority of training camp. Beyond that, he doesn't say much about the knee. But clearly, it's something that has the factor in the Sneed's ramp up this season. You got to have him on the field, man. Especially in Tennessee. He's coming in with that experience, back-to-back Super Bowl champion. You know, they're going to rely on that. But I think there's a big reason why the Chiefs didn't get Sneed that money.
It's interesting because a year ago, going into the season, we were both resolute. This is L'Jarius Sneed's last year in Kansas City. And the reason why is because he was a good corner. But he had not reached the level that he was playing at. And he had also had a lot of injury concerns.
A big concern at the combine.
Yeah, 22.
People were talking about
it. Yeah, he had the knee issue in 22, late in the season, when he was missing out on games, missing out on practices because of that. Obviously, last year in training camp, he missed a lot of time because of the knee there. I mean, look, this is who he is. This is part of who he is. It's unfortunate that that's the case. But I think we all understood that going into the offseason. Is one of the reasons why I was cool with them deciding to move him during this offseason, because it was like, hey, if you pay him $19, $20 million and then he still keeps having the same knee injury issues, then it is what it is. He's constantly having fluid drained from his knee. I mean, clearly now he's, you know, again, second year where he's being held out of training camp so that they can avoid him having issues with it. Like, look, I get, like, and this is the reason why, like, I appreciate the fact that the Chiefs have not tried to supplement their problems with free agency. I don't know if you've been watching the Hard Knocks with the Giants, but, like, that's one of the things that has kind of been a big message on that show is like, hey, you don't really want to fix your team with free agency. The draft needs to be where you do it. You just supplement with free agency.
That's what Jacksonville's big thing. But they didn't say that until after they signed Trevor Lawrence.
Right, yeah, of course. But, like, that's the thing is, like, it's real. Like, free agency is becoming a lot less important. And there's teams out there that are so desperate to win that they're going to go.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, real people tell their stories live on stage.
I burst into tears. And I wasn't sure if I was crying because I hadn't been kissed in a really long time or if I had just never been kissed like that before.
To hear fascinating, heartbreaking, and sometimes hilarious stories from astronauts, teachers, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
Out there and try to capitalize on, hey, we got a young quarterback on a rookie contract. You know, let's try to get whatever value we can elsewhere so that we can try to win on this rookie contract. And you see that with the Titans right now. But man, it is so hard to try and get the most out of guys when you are probably overpaying them like the Titans probably are. And then you got to worry about him having injury concerns. I mean, I just don't understand why you would take that risk when it really looks like it might come back to bite the Titans really bad just because you gave away a third round pick and you gave him premium money.
They went more the all-star route than through the draft.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they still have like done a lot to improve in the draft as well, but you know, they spent a lot of money on Calvin Ridley. Obviously you spent a second day draft pick and a lot of money to go get a L'Jarius Sneed from the Chiefs. But like you still have a lot of questions about that team, and there's and
the quarterback Will Levis. They keep showing, you know, this great passes.
Yeah, a lot of questions
during the season.
Yeah, a lot of questions about him.
He's loaded with quarterbacks,
right? Yeah, so I'm saying. So it's like, I mean, he's got a tough division. He's probably at best the third quarterback in his own division. So you know that's pretty tough, and it sucks that that's what's going on with Sneed. But I think we all knew that was going to happen anyway.
I think they made the right decision. Come up next, they'll give you an update on MVS. Speaking of former Chiefs.
You're listening to After Hours with Dusty Likens on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.
Welcome back, Jay Binkley, Chris Unocero. Chris, did you have fun with the, I know it's old news now, but the whole Kermit the Frog thing in Mahomes. Like why there were
I talked about it last week.
Did you? Yeah. I have a feeling the Raiders, the veterans on that team went, dude, come on, man, you're a seventh round pick, man. Just be careful.
Yeah, I just
like Max Crosby and that bunch.
Just, you know, I'm cool with trash talk and whatnot, but like, you know, be good first and then trash talk.
Don't be a seventh round pick. Like this year.
Like when the Bengals, like, you know, when they did like Burrowhead and all that, I'm like, okay, you know,
Jamar Chase. I mean,
you guys earned the right to do that. Jamar Chase, you earned the right to do that. You're really good at your job. And I didn't take Jamar Chase said any offense for that, because Jamar Chase is just being petty, but he wink, wink, nod, acknowledge that Mahomes is the best. So I don't care about that. I think people overreacted to that. But, yeah, the Raiders thing is like, come on, man. Like, look, you are not a good football team. You haven't been a good football team in 20 years. Why would you go out of your way to because Mahomes is petty, man. He's not like some, you know, turn the other cheek type of dude. Like, he'll passively find a way to not let you forget that you said that. So it just seems to me like it would be a smart idea to do what he does and be very complimentary of his work. Because if you try to find a way to rile him up, he's going to get riled up and he's going to rip you to shreds. And I just, for a guy that is that you know, hopefully has done his research on the history of the team and seeing the fact that his opponent, the guy he mocked, has won 8 straight division titles and 2 straight championships.
And is 11-2 against, or 10-2 in his career against that
like
team.
You think you would be a little bit more humble and complimentary of a player that good.
Yeah, and he's won more playoff games than Andy Reid.
I mean, he just won a Super Bowl in your home stadium.
Yeah.
Like, that's the ultimate flex right there. Your division rival, your biggest rival, won a Super Bowl in your home stadium, and you have yet to even come anywhere close to winning a championship at all during this run. Doesn't make any sense why you would even try and mess around with that.
Well, MVS, we saw a few glimpses in the postseason. You're like, okay, there's MVS. But the guy that we wanted with MVS with that speed, that 4.37 speed, being 6'4", remember he made that comment that he helped Aaron Rodgers and Mahomes win MVP? Because he was on those teams, you know, that MVS helped
him. I mean, yeah, he helped him, but, like, how much did he help him? Not very much.
Well, Mike Florio had this out. CBS Sports had this out. If you're checking in on MVS, the headline on CBS was, ex-Chief starter MVS falling behind in Bills wide receiver competition, per report. It was somebody from The Athletic named that wrote the story. It says, Valdez-Scantling may currently slot in at the number 6 on the wide receiver pecking order, behind second-round rookie Keon Coleman, veteran slot Khalil Shakir, free agent Curtis Samuel, Mac Hollins, and former Pittsburgh Steelers starter Chase Claypool behind them all. And, of course, Dawson Knox and Dalton Kincaid at tight end will be ahead of targets at that. But I can't see MVS being very happy being the number 6, because I think MVS going in there with a couple rings on there, he just never has lived up to his potential. Guy's got a ton of potential. We know how fast he is. 2 years ago, he's the fastest. Or no, his last year with the Packers had the fastest route in the NFL.
Man, I think we saw the kind of person he was the Friday after that Eagles game.
Oh, when he talked to the media?
And he was talking to the media back in December. And, like, you could, like, obviously after the game, we saw him slam his helmet as he was walking down the tunnel.
He wasn't taking accountability.
But then, yeah, in that press conference that Friday, like, he was smug and smile. Oh, it's all good, whatever. And, like, look, it'd be different if he was an established star player and he had a bad run. Like, I would totally get that level of confidence. Marquez Valdes-Scantling has never had what you would call an impressive season in the NFL. And I think if it were me, I would be very much focused on trying to improve my game so that I could have a job next year secured. Especially because that was 100% a contract year for him. Everybody knew that was a contract year for him, and he was barely visible during the season. The most notable thing he did during the season was drop that damn pass. And obviously, like, during the playoffs, he had that catch that ended the game against the Ravens, and he did have the touchdown catch in the second half against the 49ers.
Did the great game against the Bills.
Yeah, the great game against the Bills, and that's awesome, and that's great. And it's like, you know, he showed up in the playoffs, and so it ended up working out for him, because he also showed up in the AFC Championship game the year before against the Bengals when, like, half the receiving corps fell down. But at the end of the day, it's like, you know, you have to produce consistently because the team can't trust that you're going to go out there and just get it right when it matters. And, you know, with him running on second team right now in Buffalo, it's just like
second and third team.
Yeah, second and third team.
Maybe the sixth, number six in the slot.
That is it's an embarrassingly bad fall. It also shows you that, like, Buffalo is really, really hurting when someone like him, who's coming off of two straight Super Bowls.
Because the Bills don't exactly have great receivers.
Yeah, they don't. And so, like, when a guy like him is second team, when this was a guy who was a starter here last year, and granted, like, the receiving corps was trash last year, but, like, still, He was a starter on the offense last year for the Chiefs, two straight Super Bowls, and now he's looking like he might be on the bubble for the Bills roster. And the Bills don't have a good receiving corps right now. Like, maybe their best receiver is Curtis Samuel. Like, maybe their best receiver. Like, that's just not you. They lost their top two wide receivers.
They're kind of counting on Keon Coleman being that guy.
Maybe, but, like, again, rookie. So I'm not putting too much hope on him like that, because there's no guarantee on that. There's a reason why he fell. But yeah, I think when you look at that scenario, it just doesn't look good for MVS. And I think you do have to question. And I don't like to question people's, like, work ethic or anything generally in sports, because these guys work harder than they ever have to perfect their sport. But just with the little anecdotal evidence that we have, I'm not sure that this is a guy that has put in all the work he could to take advantage of the talent that he has. And it's unfortunate because he's an incredibly talented receiver, but every time he's had an opportunity to go out there and prove that he belongs, he finds a way to screw it up.
I guess I have the biggest problem with not taking accountability. Because you see accountability.
Yeah, I don't like that either.
All the way from head coach.
That was a big knock for me.
Travis Kelce's taking accountability at times. Like a Sean Connor or somebody. Everybody's taking accountability, but he wouldn't.
I've seen Travis Kelce. Like, you remember when the Chiefs almost beat the Packers back in 2019 with Matt Moore as their starting quarterback? And, like, after the game, you think, like, because we were all like, yeah, you know, it's a moral victory. You almost beat the Packers, one of the best teams in the NFC, with your backup quarterback. And when we thought that the Chiefs season might be doomed if Mahomes misses has an extended absence, you almost won that game on Sunday Night Football against the Packers. And I was down in the locker room in that game, and Travis Kelce, who dropped a key like third down pass, was pissed. Like, he was so mad at himself for dropping that pass. Mind you, Travis Kelce at that point, he was well established, multiple consecutive thousand-yard seasons at that point, and he was really hard on himself about this middle of the regular season game against a team they probably had no business even competing with their backup quarterback. And he was really hard on himself about that. And you kind of want that from the rest of your team. And to see Marquez Valdes-Scantling being all, you know, he's all cheesing out there and he's all cool and he's got this bravado and there's no accountability. I didn't think it looked good for him. I think at that point it was like, yeah, he's definitely not long for here. And yeah, I mean, you kind of see him now in Buffalo. It sure don't look like he's going to be one of the guys.
Especially a team full
squad
of stars that do take accountability for what they're doing.
Exactly. Like, Mahomes always blames himself when they lose, even if he's not at fault. You know, you'll see, like, Chris Jones will take accountability for mistakes the defense makes. You know, Andy will take a bullet for any of his coaches or players. But then you get this wide receiver, and he just is smug, and he's laughing and smiling, and, oh, it's all good. We'll be all right. I'm confident. Like, that's just not a good mindset to have, and I'm glad he's not on this team anymore.
And if he thinks that if he gets cut there that he could end up back in Kansas City like Mecole Hardman did, I don't see that happening.
Like, I don't think he'll ever – I think like, last year was very telling. I think the Chiefs might have tried to make it work if Marquez had shown something the last 2 years. Like, if he was like what Juju was when Juju had his 1 year stint here in 22, if like last year he would have stepped up and been like a kind of number one guy, a pseudo number one, I 100% think he probably would still be here. They probably would not have made the move to go get Hollywood. But he had an opportunity to do it, and he was really bad last year.
And I think you're going to like Hollywood going forward. Coming up next, though, the NFL, there's two new changes coming to the NFL next year, and one of them could be a permanent fix. We'll talk about that next.
You're listening to After Hours with Dusty Likens on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app, brought to you by Twin Peaks Eats, Drinks, Scenic Views.
What if everything you learn in history class was only half the story? I'm Dr. Harini Bhatt, host of Hidden History. Every Monday, I go where history gets mysterious. Vanished civilizations, doomsday prophecies, paranormal phenomena, and events that science still can't fully explain. On Hidden History, I treat these moments like open case files. Not myths, not superstition, just incomplete explanations waiting for a closer look. Listen to and follow Hidden History, available now wherever you get your podcasts.